Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Chapter 1 and verse 15, it is said of John the Baptist, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Now, greatness is measured in a variety of ways, depending upon the area of measurement and depending upon the standard that is used to determine greatness. My dear people, John the Baptist was great in the way that really matters. He was great in the sight of the Lord. Man can be considered great in a lot of different accomplishments, but unless he is great in the sight of the Lord, he has missed the real purpose and meaning of life. On the other hand, a person may never be considered very great in many of the things of the thinking of this world. But if he is great in the sight of the Lord, he has accomplished what his Creator has intended for him to do. Today I want us to see the reasons why John the Baptist was called great. And as we look at these very sobering reasons, our respect for John will certainly be increased. And we're not only going to look at the greatness of John, but by comparison, the greatness of Christ. And then yet even another that is identified as being great. First, I suggest that John was great because he fulfilled prophecies that had been prophesied by God's great inspired prophets of the past. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, we read the words, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God." When we come to the New Testament, and we begin to read about the life of John the Baptist, it is said both in the book of Mark and in other places that this specific prophecy was fulfilled in the work and in the person of John the Baptist. Before the Old Testament Bible was completed, in the book of Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and 6, the prophet wrote, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." One was to come. He would be like Elijah. There would be similarities between him and Elijah. This was fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist. And Jesus identified John the Baptist as that Elijah that was to come. So certainly he was great in that he fulfilled the prophecies of God. He was secondly great because of the miracle that was involved concerning his birth. A miracle is God's intervention, his direct intervention into matters. And John the Baptist was born because of a miracle. His father, Zacharias, it was said of him that he was well stricken in years. In fact, he was called an old man. His mother, Elizabeth, it is also said of her that she was well stricken in years. Not only that, during her time of normal childbearing, Elizabeth had been barren. Nonetheless, the angel of the Lord told Zacharias that he and Elizabeth would have a child. That would not be the normal, natural experience of those of their advanced age. Nonetheless, he would have a child. And as a sign that he would have a child, Zacharias would not be able to speak any longer until that child was born. Certainly we can see that there was a direct intervention on the part of God to enable that couple to bear this man named John. Thirdly, John the Baptist was great because of the life he lived. And I think that we could characterize his life as being a life of faithfulness and personal sacrifice. It depends a lot on our destiny depends a lot on how we live this life. God has always been pleased with people who will give of themselves to the service of others and to the service of God. It is one of the crimes against humanity and deity that so many of us make, that we put ourselves before we put others. John the Baptist was not of that disposition and action in life. John the Baptist forsook the pleasures of this world in order to do his task. It is said of John that he drank neither wine nor strong drink, Luke 1 and verse 15. And dear friend, may I insist unto you as you search through the Scriptures, you will see that the abstinence from strong drink is a characteristic of those whom God has chosen to accomplish His righteous purposes in this life. That within itself should impress upon us the attitude of God toward the consumption of strong drink. John the Baptist lived out in the wilderness, as did Elijah. He lived out in the countryside, away from the sins of the city, but also away from luxuries that might be enjoyed in the city. As for his food, the Bible says he ate locusts and wild honey. As for his clothing was made of camel's hair and a leathern girdle. The food and the clothing and the shelter of John the Baptist was crude even by the standards of his own day. He did not seek what many would call his own physical well-being. He willingly gave up what might have been called an easier life in order to do what God intended for him to do. That ought to be a lesson for all of us even yet. Fourthly, John the Baptist was great because of his mission. And maybe this is the greatest portion about John. And there is a great deal said in the New Testament about the mission of John the Baptist. He was God's messenger. Jesus Christ identified John as a prophet, one who would speak on the behalf of God. Primarily, his work was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. And he preached that people were to believe in the Christ that was to come. When the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 19, was explaining the mission of John and the purposes of the baptism by John the Baptist, he pointed out how that John taught people to believe on the Christ that was to come. John the Baptist preached to people to repent. He had the courage to tell people they cannot continue to live in ways of iniquity and still be pleasing to God. That has always been the case, dear listener. People will not sometimes be convinced that they must live righteously in order to be the recipient of the blessings that God offers. Too many people have got the idea they can live right their own way and even in the ways of evil, and some way or another, it's all going to be acceptable to God anyway. That's a mistaken notion. From whatever source it has come, it ought to return there. Because men must repent. They cannot continue a life of sin. They cannot continue to have the same attitude of heart toward right and wrong. They cannot continue to have the same attitude of rejection of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, in his mission, taught people to repent. And he taught them to repent because, as he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven had to do with the coming of the Lord's church. When he said it was at hand, he simply meant that it was nearby. It was soon to be. It was nigh upon them. He prepared a people for the coming of the Lord. And it was John the Baptist that identified the Christ as the sacrifice that God would provide for the sins of mankind. It was John the Baptist who said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." It was John the Baptist who assisted Jesus Christ in baptizing Christ in order to fulfill all righteousness. The book of Psalms defines righteousness for us as the commandments of God. By implication, we know that Jesus then had been commanded of God to be baptized. We do not have the explicit command, but the very fact that Jesus was baptized and was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and righteousness is the commandments of God, then we know that Christ was commanded by God to be baptized, and it was part of the mission of John the Baptist to assist Jesus Christ in doing that. In Luke chapter 1, we also learn that it would be the mission of John the Baptist to turn the hearts of people back again unto God and to give them the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of the sins. No greater message could have possibly been heard by the people in John's day than the message that he taught them. Salvation, and that by forgiveness of sins. It is said of the mission of John the Baptist that he would give light to those who were in sinful darkness, that he would bring life to those who were in spiritual death. He would teach people to fast. He would teach people to pray. And in Acts the 13th chapter, it is said that John fulfilled his course. John the Baptist was sent with a mission, and John the Baptist accomplished his mission. And one unique characteristic of John the Baptist was something that was not a part of his work. John the Baptist did no miracle. John the Baptist was not a miracle worker. It was not his intention, nor his design, nor his part to be performing miracles. But nonetheless, he did have an awesome mission. John the Baptist was great, brethren, because of his character. And there are two qualities of character I want to mention. Number one, he was humble. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 7, when Jesus Christ came to him to be baptized of John, it was John who said, "I have needs to be baptized of thee." His attitude was the superiority of Christ and his own inferiority to the Son of God. He was a humble man. It was John the Baptist who taught the multitudes that to whom he preached, when he said, with reference to Christ, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It was John the Baptist who pointed out that Christ was to be the bridegroom, and he was nothing more than simply the friend of the bridegroom. He was not one who would allow his own personal value of himself or his own egotism of his self-importance to prevent him from putting the Lord Jesus Christ first. But surely John was great because of his courage. John was fearless to proclaim that there was coming a new kingdom. He told them there was going to be a new king. He pointed out that there would be a new religion. And the things that he had to say would be offensive to the Roman power, who felt threatened by a new king and new kingdom, not understanding the nature of his kingdom. This would be threatening to the Jews, who for some 1,600 years had followed Judaism, and now there was going to be a new religion. And John showed his courage when he would go before the Sadducees, and the Sadducees, condemning their hypocrisies and all of their sinfulness, even going so far as to call them a generation of vipers. John the Baptist was courageous in that he told Herod concerning Herodias, whom he had taken from his brother. He said, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." He knew God's standard in marriage. He knew God's law in marriage. And even though there was one of great pomp and power, John the Baptist would not compromise God's law even for him or anyone else. In fact, it was his condemnation of Herod and Herodias that later led to the fact that he was beheaded by his enemies. But certainly John the Baptist has to be listed near the top of the people of the Bible for his boldness and his courage. John the Baptist was great because of his tremendous influence on others. It is said that he preached in Judea. But it is said that he preached in the wilderness. And his influence was such, dear people, that the people would come out of the cities, out into the wilderness, to hear what this prophet had to say. And he persuaded people to look to the Christ. Such people as Andrew were first converts by John. It is true that all who heard him certainly did not believe. But he was so great that some even confused him to be the Christ that was to come. On one occasion when Christ asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Among those that were named, some say, "You're John the Baptist, come back to life," John already having been put to death. Even when he was preaching, he had to persuade them, "I am not the one. I am not even worthy to loose the latchet of those shoes of the one that was to come." My dear listener, the greatness of John the Baptist cannot be questioned because of his fulfillment of prophecy, because of the miracle involved regarding his birth, because of his sacrificial life, because of the mission that he was ordained to fulfill and did fulfill, because of his character of humility and courage, because of his tremendous influence for good. And yet, as great as John certainly was, he himself said, "There was one greater and mightier than he." Mark 1:7. And he had reference to Jesus the Christ. Yes, Jesus was greater than John in that though John fulfilled prophecies, Christ fulfilled more and greater prophecies than did John. Yes, there was a miracle involved in John's birth, but the miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ being born of a virgin was a unique and singular occasion in all the history of mankind. Yes, John was great because of the sacrificial life that he lived, but nothing like the sacrifice of Christ. For Christ left the portals of heaven. He fashioned himself as a man. He took on the form of a servant. He took all of the abuse that mankind can heap against the Son of God. He was repudiated and rejected, falsely charged, led out and crucified, and even to this day is despised by so many because of his standards and his will and his truth. Nobody ever sacrificed like the Son of God, deity coming to this earth. And the mission of John the Baptist surely was great, but nothing compares with the mission of Jesus Christ. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ came not only to provide the way of salvation, Christ came to be that very way of salvation. It was the Lord that said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It was the Christ who came to shed his blood, the power by which the sins of mankind can be forgiven. It was the Christ that came to provide that which mankind most desperately needed. And whereas the mission of John was not testified by miracles, it was characteristic, was it not, of the miracles of Christ, or the mission of Christ to have miracles. John had written many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. And as for the character of John, his humility and courage, did not our Lord surpass him there? John was man serving men. But Jesus was deity serving men. Jesus was the Creator serving the creature. He was the just serving the unjust. He was the Master. But even though the Master, he took on the form of a servant and served servants. Certainly the humility of Christ transpired that even of the greatness of John. And what of his courage? We noted those things that caused John to be called great because of his courage. But John could not have prevented his death even if he wanted to. But Jesus died, but he could have prevented his death. John died because he spoke the truth, but Jesus died not only because he spoke the truth, but on the behalf and in the stead of even such as those of us who are here today. Jesus could have called down 12 legions of angels to have delivered him. Any time in the whole course of his humiliation and his crucifixion and his trials, he could have stopped it all if he had seen fit. Nonetheless, he did as the prophet Isaiah had foretold of him. He was as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And whose influence could possibly surpass that of Christ? More than anyone else, Jesus of Nazareth has influenced the history of all mankind. Nobody else could ever take a sinner and turn him into a saint. Christ influences more than any other because not only does he have influence on the lives of people in the here and now, Jesus Christ has an influence concerning man's eternity. And from that lowly city of Nazareth, from being born in a manger, Jesus the Christ supersedes and surpasses any and all of all time in the realm of nobility and goodness and purity and in truth. Yes, Jesus Christ was greater and mightier than John the Baptist. But now there's another that is greater than John. In fact, it's somewhat startling and amazing that such would even be the case. I want you to hear it, and hear it well, because this has such a direct bearing upon everybody that's here. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now we know Christ was greater than John. It doesn't say that those in the kingdom are greater than Christ, but those in the kingdom are greater than John. Dear people, when we talk about people being in the kingdom, we're talking about people in the church. The Lord's church is the Lord's kingdom. I want you to contrast the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ here with that which is so prominent and dominant with so many people in the world with respect to the church. The church is demeaned and bashed on every hand. It's ridiculed. It's cast out. It is rejected. It is ignored. Even on Lord's Day, so many paid no mind whatsoever to the Lord and His church. But the Christ, before whom everyone is going to stand in judgment, has said, "John was greater than all. But, notwithstanding, the one that is least in the kingdom, the one that is even least in the church," and God will determine what that is and who that is, "even those are considered greater than John." Dear friend, how can we read such words without being aware of the value of being a part of the Lord's church? How can anybody ever say, in light of that, that being a part of the Lord's church is an optional matter? How can anybody read such words as that with an honest and good heart and conclude that one church is just as good as another church? How can anybody ever say that it doesn't make any difference to what church you belong or whether you belong to any of them or not? Jesus says the least in the kingdom, the least in the church, is even greater than John. How can that be? Well, John the Baptist was beheaded before the church was ever established. John the Baptist was never a member of the church. He foretold the kingdom to come. It was at hand. But he was put to death before that kingdom actually came into existence on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was never a member of it. He preached the way, but he did not serve God according to that way. And such a statement as this shows the greatness, the might, the power, the value, the blessedness of being in the Lord's church. And every one of us here can be a Christian. Christians make up the church. That's what the church is. People who belong to Christ. Because they've obeyed the gospel of Christ. They've been added to the church by the Lord. It's almost beyond our ability to comprehend when we think of such a person as John the Baptist. That magnificent man who lived many years ago. And for all the reasons that I have named and many, many others of his greatness, and yet, in the sight of the Lord, and that's what matters, in the sight of the Lord, any and every one of us can be considered by the Lord to be greater than John. When and if we are in His kingdom, the church. Today we magnify John. We magnify the greatness of Jesus Christ above that of John. But dear friend, our lesson, to bring it right down personal to every one of us, is to magnify the church and to see the necessity that I have and that you have and that all responsible people have to obey the gospel and be added to the church. What is it that you must do to be greater than John? You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. You must repent, as John preached, as Jesus preached, as the apostles preached. Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You must confess your faith in Christ, even as the Ethiopian, even as we're taught in the book of Romans, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. And you must be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Baptized to be saved, Mark 16:16. And when you do that, Acts 2:47, God adds you to His church, which is the kingdom. And the least, even the youngest, even the most immature, is greater than John. What a marvelous thing it is to be in the church. And it all is due to the glory of the blood of the Son of God. If you have an appreciation for the church, if you have an appreciation for Christ, and for what God has done, you can be greater than John. If you've once been a member of the Lord's church, but you have not been faithful and gone away, you are like a cut-off member from the body. You will die. You can be restored. Repentance, confession, and prayer. That's the way God has designed for you to come back home and even be greater than John.